UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Really looking forward to our next guest, primarily talking some football, but I want to ask him some other questions as well. He's been with us before, and we're delighted to have him back again. He's from the Washington Post. He's a reporter who analyzes advanced sports statistics, analytics, such as it is, for the Post's Neil Greenberg, and he joins us right now. Neil, good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I want to ask you mostly about football, but I got to ask you a baseball question, too, because I'm curious. Listen, I'm not, you know, so rooted in the past. I understand the value of analytics. I do. I believe in them. But I just think, like anything else in life, sometimes you lose your mind. And I just wonder if the idea behind the front office people being so dialed in to their analytical, their analysis, that they've reduced. In fact, the manager is perceived like a necessary evil now. I believe if they had their way, they'd like to get rid of them altogether. And the example I give is you got a Kansas City team playing the Mets. I was glad they did this last week. Their starting pitcher was really befuddling the Mets. He'd only thrown 81 pitches, but I'm sure the analytic people said, well, don't let him go through that lineup again or whatever. They took him out, got to the Royals bullpen, and the Mets scored 9 runs in the next 2 innings. Now, I know it's always 20-20 hindsight, but at some point, does the scale tip too far? What do you make of they're emasculating, is that the right word? The managers, so they have no power at all.
Well, I think that it depends on the organization, and I've always been a proponent of an equal balance of analytics, scouting, the eye test. I mean, any information that you have at your disposal is certainly worthwhile. In terms of, you know, how steadfast should the rule be in terms of the pitcher should only go through the lineup twice versus 3 times, you know, again, that really depends on the starting pitcher. It depends on the opponent. It depends on the bullpen, right? The bullpen depends on a whole bunch of different stuff between when was the last time they worked, how fresh they are, and how good they are, et cetera. So, you know, I don't know if I would look at that one specific instance and say, you know, the pendulum has swung too far. But I certainly think that there's room for everything. And, you know, who knows? Maybe they were clinging to a hard and fast rule and it ended up blowing up in their face. But, you know, I guess the double-edged sword here is over time that decision probably works out for Kansas City more often than not. But the fact that it didn't work out and each season is a season and every game is meaningful, you know, tends to magnify the effect both right and wrong. So
I agree with what you said at the beginning. Information is the bottom line, and the more information, right, the better. But sometimes, you know, that's when I think you have something exceptional. If you had that situation 1,000 times, I know the argument is, well, do it for all 1,000 and you'll be ahead of the game. But I would suggest maybe 990. And then if they had a day like that where they clearly that guy was pitching at a level that, you know, players do get in a zone. You can't document that necessarily. They do. They're not little Stratomatic cards. They're human beings. And, you know, I think that the good coaches and the good managers understand that a little bit. And I think you should build that into the way they do their business. That's just one man's opinion.
I agree. I think that you need to know your players, and you need to have a feel for your players, and you need to know when your guy's got it and when your guy doesn't. And it really takes a certain manager to blend all that stuff. And I think, you know, the biggest challenge with analytics right now is translating the information to the player. I mean, you look at what you don't want is a player going up the bat and saying, "Oh man, my launch angle has been at 10 degrees. It needs to be at, you know, 14 degrees." I mean, that's not what you want. So I think the biggest key is one of language and being able to translate what your analytics guys are giving you into actionable intelligence from the player's perspective.
All right, let's ask you about this. And certainly many of our listeners are in this mode right now. I know many people have already done their draft. There's still a lot more coming up. Our little office league, we haven't done our draft yet. So we just did the assignments, the random drawing of what order we pick. And my son and I, well, let me ask you before I tell you what we got. Is there a decided, let's say all players are of equal skill drafting. I mean, I know that's not the case, but just for the sake of argument, let's say they are. What position proves to be the most productive, and is there any that are worse than others?
I think the first three slots in this year's draft have more value than the rest of the draft, only because the certainty at running back with those three picks is very high relative to the peers, and the decision-making process is a lot more clear-cut at that part of the draft. So you have Saquon Barkley, you have McCaffrey, and then you have Alvin Kamara in some order that should probably go 1, 2, or 3. And then after that, there are some decisions that need to be made which get a little bit uncomfortable, right? I mean, you have Ezekiel Elliott who's holding out. Maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't. And if he does play, how much does Tony Pollard take away in terms of opportunities? Because he's looked really good in the preseason. You have David Johnson, who is going to be on an Arizona Cardinals team that is not expected to be very good. So how often will they be able to run? Because chances are they'll be playing from behind, especially with a rookie quarterback. You have also then, do you take a wideout like DeAndre Hopkins and pass on those running backs? So I think the first couple of picks in the draft, just because of certainty and positional scarcity and drop-off, are probably your best bets.
As a general rule, your priority should be what? Running back, receiver, quarterback, or how does that play out?
I think it depends on where you draft. Like I said, the first three picks, I would probably definitely take a running back. I would probably take David Johnson fourth. But then I'd start looking at some of the receivers that are there, especially DeAndre Hopkins, who gets a lion's share of his team's targets. And then you really have to just look at what the draft presents to you. I mean, it's, you know, maybe you can script the first couple rounds of the draft, but then after that, you really have to start to draft for need, and you have to start to draft for best player available for that need. So it makes it a little bit difficult. But I would say running backs, especially the running backs that get a majority of the opportunities for their team, and there aren't many, those are the guys that I would be targeting first and foremost.
We got 9 and 10 in our draft. I was not happy about that. That seems...
That's a tough one. I mean, you're a little bit late. So it's more of a reactive position than it is a proactive position. And my guess is you're going to probably start some wide receivers down there and then maybe take one of the running backs on the turn coming back in the second round. That would probably be my strategy.
How about you made an interesting point about T.Y. Hilton, because now obviously Andrew Luck retires, but Jacoby Brissett actually targeted him further down the field than Luck did, didn't he? I don't know. So how does that impact what you would do with Hilton in a draft situation?
Well, I'm not sure how much I would discount Hilton because his value is stretching the field. And Jacoby Brissett is going to be targeting him down that way. If he has the arm to target him down the field that way, then, you know, Hilton's value probably doesn't drop as much as you might think. I'm not saying that Brissett's going to be a pass-for-pass replacement for Andrew Luck. I think there's going to be a steep drop-off in performance. But, you know, fantasy football is all about opportunity. And if Jacoby Brissett's comfortable throwing the ball to T.Y. Hilton often and is comfortable throwing the ball to him downfield, then it's really up to the coaches to scheme a way to get them on the same page and to make them successful. Plus, I think the, you know, the Colts not being as good of a team. I know that the oddsmakers in Vegas now do not look at them as a divisional winner nor a playoff team. It means that they'll probably be playing from behind, so that's more opportunities to throw the ball. So I think any sort of drop in performance from Luck to Brissett probably is offset a little bit by the volume that could ensue because of it. So, I don't know where I would take T.Y. Hilton in terms of the draft, but he's certainly somebody that could be a decent pick, depending on what else is available.
Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post with us, helping us break down some fantasy thoughts. This, you didn't write this, your colleague Adam Kilgore did, but I want to get your thoughts on it. Obviously, it's a pretty big deal around here, even though we're in Louisville, we're the Colts affiliate, and people talking about Andrew Luck's retirement and, with his thoughts behind it and blah, blah, blah. And Kilgore's article is headlined, "Andrew Luck made a brave decision and he might inspire other NFL players to do the same." And I'm curious what your reaction is to that, because on the one hand, the players clearly make way more money now than they did a generation ago. Guys played then largely because they had to. A guy like him or Rob Gronkowski, they don't need to play anymore. They have enough money, really. I mean, you can always say you can use more money, but by and large, they're set for their lifetimes. And the data that comes out is more and more damning about the long-term ramifications. And I agree. I think players by nature were reluctant to do that. Now, if you get marquee players like that stepping aside, is it going to be something that the league's going to have to deal with?
Well, it certainly was an abrupt decision, and it was certainly the best decision for Andrew Luck and his family. Like you said, most of these high-profile athletes in the NFL have, made a decent living. Hopefully, they're able to keep enough of it to set them up for the rest of their life. I think Andrew Luck was in a unique position in that he was a franchise quarterback and was paid like one. He also didn't have to give back any of the money that the Colts could have recouped, being with the time left on his contract and the manner in which he retired. So I think he got to keep like $28 million or something like that, which is no small sum. I think when you look at the long term effects, and like you said, I mean, players are are in bad shape sometimes when they leave the NFL. And even on innocuous plays, I mean, Rob Gronkowski was talking about a play where he got hit in the thigh and he was like up all night almost crying in pain. And if you look at the play, it's a routine football play. It doesn't have to be one of these catastrophic injury type plays that knock you out forever. It could be, it's just the straw that breaks the camel's back in some instances. And I think that players are certainly going to push for, I think, more guaranteed money, so that if they do come to this crossroads that Andrew Luck found himself, they're at least in a better financial position to make a decision that weighs more heavily on health than wealth.
I find it interesting that while most of the general public understood it, and the fans booed, they may regret that when they have some time to reflect on it, I don't know, but I think most fans get it. It's his life, his decision, his health, his money, so that's fine. But his colleagues, that's what I think is really intriguing. In this article I'm alluding to in the Post from your colleague, these are the quotes from either current or former players. Chris Long, who just retired, played 11 years, said in a text message, "I think most people don't have the guts. Lots of players fantasize about walking away. Most get walked away." There are other comments in here, from current players. Cecil Shorts, 6-year NFL wide receiver, said, "Thank you, Andrew Luck, for having the courage to do what's best for you and your family. Football's a game. It's not who you are. Nobody knows what you personally battle better than you. You gave the game." And Martellus Bennett, of maybe the most damning, just came right out and said, "Football doesn't care about their players. Players are starting to realize that more and more. The game gets what it needs from you and then moves on. Now that players are getting what they need from the game and moving on, it's messing up the ecosystem." How about that?
Well, I think he makes a good point. I mean, we've seen a bunch of players get cut late in the process, especially as preseason is starting to unfold. gives them very little chance to catch on with a new club. And, you know, a lot of contracts are not guaranteed. We're seeing, you know, what's going on with both Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott in terms of holding out for more money because they're coming to the end of their contracts. And, you know, they know running backs in particular are, you know, just not almost run into the ground. I mean, we've seen that before. And, you know, you look at the reported deal that was offered by Dallas to Ezekiel Elliott, it wasn't enough guaranteed money for him to take it. And, you know, you contrast that with Kirk Cousins' contract from a couple years ago, where it was, you know, kind of betting on himself 3 years, all of it guaranteed. That's because I agree with, you know, Bennett. It was the NFL does not owe anything to their players, and, you know, when they don't owe anything to their players, it becomes a ruthless business. And, you know, players have to maximize their earnings while they have the chance, and that means getting as much guaranteed money as possible. So I think as we go forward, you'll see more clamoring for that and try to get way more guaranteed dollars because you just never know when you've taken your last snap.
All right, before we let Neil go, let's ask him maybe a point or two that if you haven't had your draft yet, you could take away and put to use. This one, let me because these are headline from on the website. You can find, by the way, you can find this stuff for him at WashingtonPost.com, one of which says, because I think people would be interested in this, how about running backs you can grab after the first round? Who's got some value if you've already gone once around the table that you might grab in round two or later?
Well, I think this is definitely someone that you should look at in the 10th spot, which is Joe Mixon for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, he touched the ball 280 times last year, and they plan to run a similar scheme in Cincinnati that they ran with the Rams, which will probably give Joe Mixon more room to run, better matchups. He already did great. I mean, he had a ton of explosive runs of 20 yards or more last year. Only Saquon Barkley had more. So I think he's a guy that can certainly get a lion's share of the carries. And Chris Carson for the Seattle Seahawks. You know, the Seahawks don't really target their running backs out of the passing game, but that looks like it's going to change this year. And, you know, by all accounts, it looks like the Seahawks want to give Chris Carson more carries. So he's a guy that's available late in the third round that I think could be a great fantasy roster player in this coming draft.
How about this? I was intrigued by this one. Listeners would be intrigued by this as well. The headline is four players going higher than they should in fantasy football drafts. Who are we giving the warning signs about?
Well, one is Kerryon Johnson for the Detroit Lions. I think he's got a lot of competition on his roster. You have Christian Kirk with the Arizona Cardinals. Again, I mean, you have a rookie quarterback there, and there are other players being drafted in similar spots. You have Eric Ebron, the tight end for the Indianapolis Colts. The touchdown rate for Eric Ebron was very high last year. That's going to regress, and then you add in the fact that Andrew Luck retired. I think that's kind of a double whammy. And, you know, Drew Brees seems to be on the decline. I mean, he's certainly not fantasy irrelevant, but the amount of times that they're asking him to pass is declining. And as a result, his opportunities to get fantasy points are declining. So I think as a seventh or an early eighth round pick might be a little bit optimistic for Drew Brees. So he's also one that I think that could have a turn in a worse season next year.
Neil, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks so much, and hopefully we'll visit with you in the future as well. Appreciate it.
That sounds good. Talk to you soon.
All right. Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. That was good stuff. We appreciate that. We'll take a break. I think I've done all my reads. I'm a good little boy. No, we'll do that later here on the V Show on ESPN 680-1057.
Part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
So we've got some work to do drafting the 9 spot, huh?
Better than the 10 spot.
Yeah. I'll tell you what is better, to be lighter and healthier than you were when you started. And that's both of us, thanks to our friends at Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. And what makes this program so good, well, I can't say what in one way. There's many things. First of all, it's tailored just to you. Nick's program is different than mine. They do a computer analysis of your body type, the makeups, the minerals, everything. And then you take supplements that are geared just for you. That's number one. Number two, it's flexible. It's not here. You signed up, you gave us your money here. Here's box food. You eat it. You eat it. You eat it. Everybody eat the same thing. No. They give you a flexibility in when you eat, the kinds of food you can select from, and it really makes you re-examine how you're eating to the point where when the diet is quote-unquote over, you've learned a whole new way and a healthier way to live, as opposed to, okay, now I'm done eating those little garbagey box things, and now what am I supposed to do? No, this is a way to change the way you live, and so far it's been fantastic. Nick looks great. He's in better shape than he's been in a while. I've lost 25-plus pounds, and I'm just getting ready to start phase two, and that's going on, well, so hopefully in a couple of weeks we'll be in the 30s and go from there, because that's how this works. And I feel so much better, and you can too. If you've tried other diets, maybe you've lost weight, because you want to know the truth? You know, they don't like to say this, but it's true. All diets work if you follow them to the letter of the law. The problem is you're so miserable with some of them. And then when you're done with the diet, it's a lifestyle you can't maintain. You can't eat. Here's your pizza, sir. Pizza. I thought that was a postage stamp. No, that's your pizza, because on this diet, you get pizza and cake. Cake. It looked like a dime. I thought it was a dime on the table. No, that's your cake. Nobody can live like that for the rest of their lives. This you can. You eat so much food, and good food, the right food. You begin to realize that's why I was always so hungry. You're making bad choices. You make the right choices. You get plenty of good, nutritious, delicious food, and it's earmarked for the way you live in a way that you can maintain for really the rest of your life. It is that kind of difference. So what are you waiting for? Check out Vitality. Two locations, one in Southern Indiana and one right off Bardstown Road here in Louisville over towards the Highlands. And either place you go, you'll get great service and a great, great experience at Vitality. So check them out. No question about that. All right, let's see. Some texts. Watch Gronk's video on Twitter he posted. It's amazing. He was in the exact same boat as Andrew Luck. It really was. I mean, his comments were identical. Talked about Luck said the joy of the game was taken away. Gronk said the joy of the game was taken away. He was physically in pain. He said he could hardly walk after the Super Bowl. It's tough. And for, you know, what's making this stand out so is that players in the NFL for a game, it's all demand. The NBA is demanding. The NHL is demanding. Major League Baseball is demanding. I mean, anytime you're playing a professional level, yes, they're well compensated. Hell, they're playing a kid's game, but it's a job. It's demanding. But I don't think any game imperils its players to the extent that football does. And yet they have the least powerful of the unions. And because of this, even despite that, the players now are getting some empowerment because the money's so great. And that's a tribute to the game. I mean, listen, they're not just driving the bus. As I've said before, they own the bus company and they're taking tolls from all the other sports on the highway because they are the kings. But the fact is, they're going to have to be proactive in this going forward, or they're going to face some decisions that are going to be unpleasant for them later on, because the nature of the game is such that you get a guy like Luck doing what he did and Gronk saying what he did and other players coming out in support of it. There are going to be players correctly that are going to be looking at this and saying, you know what, this thing's out of whack. And somebody sent a text earlier, and I appreciated this. He took my idea. All right, well, I'm going to find this text while you listen. This is Gronk's comments. And listen, hopefully you read Luck's comments. Listen to how similar everything about it is to what Andrew Luck had to say. Take a listen.
But I want to be clear to my fans. I needed to recover. I was not in a good place. Football was bringing me down, and I didn't like it. And I was losing that joy in life, like the joy. I'm sorry right now, but I really was, and I was fighting through it. And I knew what I signed up for, and I knew what I was fighting through. And I knew I just have to fix myself.
I think it's really intriguing that you could see the emotion. These guys are not like, I got my money, yahoo, I'm out of here. It's who they are. It's a big part of who they are. It's not all of who they are. In fact, that's very unhealthy if you define yourself just by that. But it's a big part of who they are. And it's not easy to walk away. Luck crying, Gronkowski crying. I mean, Gronk's as macho a guy as there is. And he's, you know, very emotional about it. So it's not an easy decision to make. And anybody who says otherwise is just not getting it, I think. But, you know, I said, you're going to have to, I think if they really want to maintain this, they're going to have to acknowledge the fact of the physical demands of the game and think outside the box. And I'm going to give you an example, and I wish I could find the dang text from who sent it. It was really good. I said, maybe, you know, you should limit the number of games guys have to play. Because here's the problem from a business standpoint they're facing. Everybody agrees the preseason is not good. You're putting players in harm's way. You don't need all those games. It's not a good product. It's not good for the league. So they got a lot of problems when you deal with it that way. But the fact of the matter is, what's the alternative? Because they allow you know, the teams to include those preseason games in their season ticket package. So you got people having to buy tickets for 10 games rather than just 8, and that money's going right to ownership. And now if you're saying, okay, well, you know, we want to get rid of those exhibition games, the owners understandably are saying, okay, what about, You know, what about the revenue? We're losing a big couple of games of revenue. They don't pay the players the regular salary for those games. I think they're on just expenses. They don't, you know, the players are not getting their salaries for that. The salaries don't kick in until you're on the roster for the regular season. Another indication of how, you know, weakly, how weak their ultimate CBA is. There's no guaranteed money. So I came up with a solution that said, okay, listen, here it is. Thank goodness I finally found it. Go from 4 to 2 preseason games. Have 18 regular season games. Limit players to only 16 games like they play now. Change the roster size from 53 plus 5 practice players to 64 and no practice players. Have players limited to 16 games, and you have to announce on Monday who's sitting out for the week for a week off on Mondays. Eliminate the off week altogether. If a player's sitting, they're getting a week off. So every player in the league is going to be guaranteed at least 2 weeks off because you can only play 16 of the 18 games. See, that's what I mean. I'm not sure that's the best one, but that's thinking it through. I expand the rosters, because here's what I'm saying. If I'm an owner now, think about this. Technically, I'm not sacrificing any of my gate receipts. I have 9 regular season games at home and 1 preseason game. That's 10. That's what they have now. Okay? So they're not losing any revenue. But you are, you know, the players who have been pushing back on these regular season games, where I would guess, quite honestly, you could make probably more from the regular season games in the big picture. The TV rights would be worth more. I imagine more people show up. There's probably a bunch of people that buy this preseason games that don't even come, to be honest with you. They just get them because they have to get them. I know I went to a New York Giants preseason game, and I lived in New York, and they were sold out with a waiting list, but this preseason game was on a warm August night, and the stadium was 3/4 filled, maybe, and people just they didn't come. So, you know, my guess is, would this solve the problem of revenue for the owners? Possibly. I don't know. Maybe they'd say, no, it's not. See, we've got 10 games. We've got 10 home games now, and we're only paying 53 people. Now you want us to pay 64. I'm suggesting, though, at least you're getting those extra 2 regular season games, which they want, and my guess is they're worth more on TV, because that's a big part of it, mind you. They're providing content for TV, which is where the NFL, the brunt of their money comes from. That's why they're able to go on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and they're pushing now for all these streaming services where they're going to get money. So now you're giving them inventory. So you could say, all right, in exchange for that, because the players, understandably, don't want to play 18 regular season games. They could say, listen, you're not having to play any more than you play now, and we're creating more jobs for your union. Think about that. You know, if there's 58 players on a roster now, they go to 64. That's 6 more times how many teams? 32 teams. You got 180, almost 200 more jobs. That's sellable. I'm saying if that exact recipe doesn't work, something along those lines. Limit the number of games that players can play. It shows that you're concerned about the players' well-being. It also does not diminish the owners, understandably, the right for them to generate money with their investment. I think it'd be fascinating, as I've said, as a fan, that would be really intriguing. You know, how about the discussion on Monday when the guy is playing? I don't know who's a bad team right now. You know, the Jets were pretty bad last year. You got a good team. You're playing the Jets. Are you going to sit your starting quarterback that week? Do you take a chance? Or do you say, we can't afford to lose that one? Or do you say, well, let's get the one we know we're going to win. We might play our starters and still lose. We play the Patriots, so I'm going to play the reserves that game. I don't know. We'll see. And you can't play all the reserves, or that might be a strategy. Guy says, playing all my reserves that week. I'm saving them all together. I don't know. I mean, that's good for the game. That's really good to have more talk. That's why the coaches would hate it. Coaches don't want anything where they can be second-guessed. None. That's why for years the NFL fought the two-point conversion. Because coaches didn't want to be questioned. After, why didn't you go for two? I don't want to know. I don't have any decisions to make. But finally, they realized it was better for the game. The competition committee got passed. It's better for the game. This could be a good thing for the game. I think it's viable. Something along those lines. It's got something for everybody. It gets more regular season games, which the owners want. It limits the amount of players that the games the players have to play, which is what they're concerned about if they expand the regular season. I'm going from getting killed 16 times a week. Now they want me to do it 18 times? 16 times a year? Now they want me to do it 18? No. You don't have to do it anymore. You're still doing it 16. The union says, hey, you just created almost 200 more jobs for us. Fantastic. That's a win-win-win. Something along those lines, and it shows that they're at least paying attention to the wear and tear on the players.
I'm trying to think like who would give the biggest pushback on that one, because yeah, there is something there for everybody, but I'm trying to wonder which hill
I think
is going to
be some
the
fans
most difficult
would say
one.
what are we doing for two of the weeks we're gonna have to watch reserves play. But take a look at the injury list. There's very few guys that are playing every game. Those days are the days of Brett Favre are pretty well gone by the board, you know. And B, you've got a bye built in right now, so when you look at it that way, you say, well, we're not really giving up anything because there's 2 weeks, then my team's not playing as it is. So, the players still get their rest. I don't think there's that much push. The pushback might come from the owners because they might say, listen, well, as I said, we already have, 10 home dates built in right now. We still have 10, and now you're expecting me to pay another 11 people per team? They might push back on that. I don't know. My hope is that extra two regular season games that you could sell covers the cost of those extra players. So now they get more inventory, and that's a win-win-win. That's something to think about. That would be the way to go about it.
Break the whole thing down, like they do with like a football trade or like a basketball trade, where it's like, the owners get this.
Well, the owners, I don't know. That's the problem. This. I don't know if the owners get what the owners get is they get two more regular season games. Now the question, I don't know. They may say, I don't need that. I've got, I have 10 home games right now. I have the 8 in the regular season, the 2 preseason games. In this system, I'd have 9 regular season, 1 exhibition game. I'm not getting any more money out of that. I don't know. That might be what they'd say. My hope is that they'd say, hey, look, it didn't cost me anything to get rid of these preseason games because we replaced them with regular season games, and those regular season games are going to generate me more money for me because we're going to have added TV rights. I guarantee you a regular season game's TV rights is going to be way more than whatever the local rights are they're getting for the exhibition.
That's true.
Has to be. So the owners say, what do we get? We get more revenue from our TV. We get the same number of gate receipts, and we get more money from TV. The players get the fact that they have a limited. Everybody gets at least 2 weeks off, and they're not playing any more games than they're playing, and they have more jobs.
Now, do they have to sit those games out?
Yeah, you can't play any more than 16.
Okay.
Yeah, you're limited to 16. You can play less, but you...
What happens if you don't? Is there going to be like a tax or something like that?
You can't play. You just can't play. It's the guy runs out on the field, the security shoots him. I mean, he's not allowed to play.
It's
like a guy coming out of the stands in street clothes. They'd stop the game and say, get the hell off. That's what they'd say to that guy. They'd say, you're not eligible to play. Go home.
Just want to make sure it gets enforced.
So, yeah, no, I mean, that's how that would play out. That's simple. You're going to have to, you're eligible to play, you're not eligible to play. That's that simple. So I think something on that ilk. Well, the fans get more regular season games. What are people going to lament losing the 4 preseason games? They're like watching It's like, why? It's like worse than going to the dentist. It's like watching somebody go to the dentist. You got to just sit there, and it's just it's terrible.
Do any players like the preseason games? I mean, like
the only guy that has some value, yes, a guy trying to make the roster. But you're giving him a chance to do that right now because you're playing two preseason games. So he's still, and most coaches, you got to remember, that's not the only time he's demonstrating to the coaching staff. He's got all the practices. He's got training camp in two games. They know who's going to be on the team for the most part. The times that it doesn't is if a guy gets hurt late in training camp and they need to take a look at somebody. But by and large, 2 weeks is plenty. I mean, look at the college kids. These are guys that have far less experience, and they get no exhibition games. They start playing for real week one. So they'd be fine. They'd absolutely be fine.
Okay. All right. No.
Everybody's shortened it. The NBA way shortened their preseason. I think the NHL has. Most people realize there's not an upside to doing that. You play, just play games. You know, play enough games and go forward. Number one seed Osaka has made her way through a hard-fought match against the Russian player.
That's a really good idea. We need to do some follow-up research on that. We need someone needs to look up exactly how much the TV revenue and basically how much the preseason does generate and see if just an average run-of-the-mill regular season game can offset what it would be, what, two of those preseason games?
You have to replace two.
Yeah. So I really do wonder, like, yeah, I'd like to see.
And, you know, if they want to do something at the Hall of Fame, get rid of the Hall of Fame game and do a skills competition or something. People would probably enjoy that just as much. Sisyphus, the Greek player who's seeded number eight.
I was gonna say, isn't that the thing that tried to kill Perseus?
Oh, look at you. Very nice. He is in a – is that him hurt? One of the – I don't recognize that. Terrible. I don't know who's who. One of the players is seriously, I assume it's cramping.
That looks crampy, the way he's walking.
He's got no body fat on him to begin with, so I'm sure he's probably cramping. To his credit, he's gutting it out. He's losing in the match, 2-1. He lost the first set 6-4, won a second set tiebreaker 7-6, lost the third set tiebreaker, and now he's tied at 3-3 in the fourth set, and he's trying to win with guile and cleverness. He just hit a 63-mile-an-hour serve. This is on the men's side. He's not going to be able
both
to hold
these guys kind of look the
he
same.
He can't even move.
They both have like long hair. And
he's going to lose this service game and bag it. I give him credit. He's out there gutting it out, but he's going to lose this. He's going to be down 4-3. He'd have to win this set and then still endure a fifth set. I give him credit for trying, but he's just trying to drop shot. That serve was back to normal speed, 124 miles an hour. Now I think he's just double faulted for the set away. Oh, it was a let. So I give him credit. He's in there. He's in there punching. He's trying to shorten the points. Oh, man, he's a gamer, this guy. How about that?
Not that for the
followed
Greek
a fella. Second serve and then hit three volleys for a winner. Now he's walking a little better, which leads me to think it's cramps because you don't suddenly miraculously come back from an injury.
Place is cheering. When I looked over there, I saw the Greek flag.
Yep.
And then
the Greek freak.
But I couldn't quite see the Greek letters, you know, the abbreviation. I thought it said Oregon. And I was like, no.
Yeah, Oregon has seceded. That's their new
flag. So they just up and decided, like, hey, we got really good apples. You got really good olives.
They're rallying around there.
Let's call the whole thing off. No, that's how the song goes. But no, that reminded me, though, there is a segue here. Oregon became, I believe, the 12th state in the union to legalize sports gambling.
Oh, that
today?
Just happened now?
I think so, yeah.
Everybody else, that's the sound of the distance of all of the other United States leaving Kentucky in the dust here. Hey, where are you guys going? We're going into the 21st century. No, why? It's nice here. We like this. It's going to be fun here. We'll just stay.
What are all those bright lights? Is that Topgolf? We'll stay right here. Thank you very much.
We'll stay right here. Why do we even need to have electricity? Doesn't seem to make sense. What's the matter with the old gas lamps? It's fine. This is an interesting fact, which breaks my heart as a Liverpool fan. We were talking earlier in the show about Leicester City. They won when they were five. We're talking about the largest single-season championship, biggest upsets, and they were. They were 5,000-1 odds against them. They won the league championship. The way it works in the English Premier League, there is no playoff. You play the other 19 teams twice, home and away, so you get 38 matches. And I believe what a perfect season, if you get 3 points for a win and play 38 matches, would be 98. It would be 114 points, I guess, right? Yes, if you win every match. 3 points a match and 38 wins. Three times 38 is 98, 106, 114. Leicester City won the championship the year they won with 81 total points. Liverpool last year finished second, had 97. Yeah, I'm telling you, being a Liverpool fan for the Premier League is a little bit like being a Met fan. You just have your heart broken. So, there you go.
I've heard it's the same with Arsenal, but I haven't been following it.
Arsenal.
I adopted it just because...
You like Gunners.
Well, I like the cannon. I think it looks kind of cool. Reminds me of one of my favorite Monopoly tokens. That's another game that sucks.
Monopoly?
Well, nothing epitomizes the term frenemies for me more.
See, that's what that would be an interesting... I think I would do it, but...
Because I don't hate it. You're right.
Monopoly would probably win handily, right? Is if you did a Twitter poll, Monopoly, Life, Scrabble, Yahtzee.
Yeah, what?
That's it. Which is the best?
Oh, which is the best? Shoot.
Is there, or does another game belong on there? I think those are the genre.
Sorry.
Of, put that instead of Yahtzee.
No, I put that instead of Life.
Oh, Life rocks.
Yeah, I mean,
love
the
Life.
Game of Life. We're all competing.
Life is awesome. So which would be on that list? Which
Clue.
Four games? Clue?
Clue's considered a like a
Clue,
classic.
Monopoly, Life, and Sorry? Sorry's got the Pop-O-Matic.
Oh, that's Trouble.
Oh, that's Trouble. That's right.
Yeah.
Which Trouble is Sorry, but with a Pop-O-Matic.
Yeah, basically. I would say Sorry, Monopoly, Clue... And maybe, yeah,
see, that would
and
be,
then Scrabble.
I would like to, that would be for me a fun 16-team bracket thing. We used to do that like in bracket.
The best.
Yeah. But the problem is your matchups, like Monopoly would kick the crap, in my opinion, out of Sorry, but it doesn't mean they'd win the whole thing. I don't know. Like if you, you have to have,
well, you'd have
16
to
games.
You'd have to seed it.
Stratego.
All right.
Scrabble.
Stratego is a very dangerous 10 seed.
Stratego, Scrabble, Yahtzee, Sorry, Life, Risk, Monopoly.
Oh, Risk is up there.
Risk, Monopoly. We left one. We already mentioned one. I forgot. Did I say Life? So, well, they got at least an 8-team tournament there. What else would go on that
There's
list?
There's been some recent additions to the classic
how about,
game.
How about,
like
how about
Settlers of Catan?
What about Parcheesi?
I was actually thinking Parcheesi.
Parcheesi, timeless game. Love
but,
Parcheesi.
But Parcheesi is kind of like checkers or chess.
To what?
Or tic-tac-toe. It's not name brand. These things have to be... has to either have the Hasbros or the Milton Brothers.
Milton Brothers? Milton Bradley.
Milton Bradley, yeah. Well, those two
Parker
guys.
Parker Brothers.
Parker Brothers.
Parker
whatever.
Brothers.
There better be a duo attached to the damn thing.
It's Parker Brothers,
or
Milton Bradley,
Mattel
Hasbro.
Too.
You know what Hasbro gets its name from? They were brothers also.
The
Hassenfield Brothers.
Yeah, there you
Massachusetts.
Go. So yeah, I knew they were brothers.
Yeah.
Two different brothers from... Jamie and I should make something. The Val Brothers.
You have to invent a good game first.
And we'll market it as Jamie. Jamie will sell.
Like
new from Jamie.
I have to see. So I have to see. A guy pointed this out, by the way, and it's a good point. Taking me to task. Not me.
Oh, our boy Carl Schmidt texting in. Parcheesi in Candyland.
How come when I said Parcheesi, you dismissed it, but he says it?
But because of that very reason.
Come
Parcheesi
on.
Is, if it's trademarked, 100% it's up there. It's definitely in...
Actually, it is. I think Selchow and Ryder, which is another game manufacturer.
Holy, where'd you pull that out of?
That's all these were
wow,
bought.
We want to know.
Parker
Wednesday.
Brothers was bought by Hasbro, I think. They've all worked their way up. Selchow and Ryder sold Parcheesi, P-A-R-C-H-E-E-S-I. Companies that don't have the rights to the game sell Parcheesi, P-A-C-H-E-S-I or double S-I. You can go look it up.
Really?
Yes.
All right, fine. All right.
Also, if you're
going to
put Candyland in, now you've opened up a whole new world. No, and you well, that's an action game, but you also shoots and ladders.
Yeah, but see, that's another one that I feel like that's another generic game. Unless someone owns shoots and ladders, or they might own snakes and ladders. That might be the one where they
why,
bought
why
it.
Why does it have to have an ownership?
Just because it's easier. Well, I mean...
not sure I buy that theory. I understand what you're saying, but I haven't decided if I buy into it yet.
Well, because I feel like it's harder to...
because Parcheesi is a great...
To classify
Parcheesi
that.
Is a fabulous family game. You're sending people back. You're bopping them. You're sending them back home. It's
Parcheesi is basically sorry, which is basically trouble, or it's vice versa. Trouble's basically sorry. Well, sorry is basically Parcheesi.
Parcheesi is basically Indian backgammon for multiple players.
And then there's backgammon.
But backgammon's only for two players, so I wouldn't put it on my list. It has to be family-oriented games.
Well, Scrabble's. Oh, yeah. Scrabble's for
all the other games are for multiple players.
All right, so that's got to
be for multiple players.
All right, so checkers and chess can't are not on it.
Nope.
What about Chinese checkers?
Chinese checkers, you could put that on there, absolutely. Chinese checkers gets on there. Why?
It needs a brand.
Why?
Because that's like what,
for what reason does it need a brand?
That's like saying what's the best candy bar out there? Okay, I think it's Reese's. I think it's Snickers. I think it's actually like this caramel like covered pudding pop. Oh yeah, I know what those are. We all know what those are, but it's not the same because it's not coming from like the same company. It'd be like
yes. Here's the difference. That I'm glad you wrote.
What's
that
What's your
out.
Favorite food? Wait, pizza.
No, because I can explain the difference. The difference between your theory would be like the what's the name
Music
of the company
one,
that
way.
Makes the sandwich, the cookies that look like Oreos, but they're not Oreos.
That's yeah, exactly.
Okay, but that's the whole point. The cracker's going to be different. The cream is going to be different. A pizza, they're going to be all different components, flavors. If you play Parcheesi, the only thing that's going to be different is who printed the board. The rules are the same. You have different tokens and different dice. It's the same game. That pizza is not the same. That candy bar is not the same. That cookie, why can't I think of the name of that company? It's that other, they sell the cheap and expensive cookies.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Not bad.
Of course you would say that, but, you know.
They're not Oreos, though.
Right, but that's the point. So that's the difference. So, no, you know what? Explaining it that way, I've convinced myself it's okay. Parcheesi's eligible. Chutes and Ladders is eligible. They're all eligible because the only thing that would change is who printed the game. The cookie is very different. The ingredients are different. The flavor's different. Everything's different. This is the rules are the same. The only thing that changed are the components. So we may put that list together and make a little tournament out of that. I kind of like that.
All right.
Big fan of games. You know that.
We should do this throughout the year. Just have random tournaments of awesome, and then whoever wins all of said those tournaments, we put in one big one right around March Madness, and it'll be the V Show tournament of awesome or tournament of random or something, and it'll be like Parcheesi versus Batman, who won the best superhero contest, or it'll be like I don't know,
why can't
Legos
you ever leave well enough
versus.
Alone?
I'm ambitious, man. This is what millennials
do. Batman against the game of life, or
exactly.
Super...
We talked about this. We talked about adding random seeds to things.
Is that when we were sick and we were
maybe
on medication? Well, you know what we were saying? So. That was the night I thought I was Abraham Lincoln.
Hmm. Valium.
4 score and 7 years ago, I started this radio show. We'll do it again
it was
tomorrow.
Like Thin Mint cookies. They were like a one seed. Milantonis, one seed. They'll be on WDRB tomorrow morning, by the way.
Yeah. Pining for the days of the traditional men's barbershop? Look no further.
With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.